Holy Spirit, we pray that you would lead us. I pray you'd lead me. I pray you'd lead our elders, and lead Pastor Greg and Pastor Kenny, myself, our executive team. Lead our church. Lead every person here. Reveal Jesus to us. Let us see you, Jesus, and love you more and surrender our whole lives to you. Thank you, Jesus, that the Father's in you and you're in us and we're in you. May that truth set us free. May we understand what it really means to know you and to be set free by you. I pray that every person here would, even in this moment, be experiencing your joy and your love and your peace. They'd respond to your invitation, Jesus, because you said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your souls. I pray that every person here would find rest. I pray that no one here would leave today burdened, disconnected. I pray that every person would be set free. We turn to you, and the veil would be taken away. And with an unveiled face, we'd behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We'd be transformed by the Spirit from glory to glory. Jesus, do the work in our lives that only you can do, and fill us up with yourself. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, good morning. Thank you so much for being here at Crossline. I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. We've got an awesome church, a generous church. We've got just wonderful, wonderful people. I want you to know that you have a pastoral team that loves you and prays for you, and we want to be available wherever you may be in whatever season of life. If you have a need, a prayer request, something that you're facing, please, we don't want you to do that alone. God doesn't want you to do that alone. We want to walk with you and help you experience everything that Jesus wants to do in your life. In fact, that's the impetus behind the series that we're in right now. It's called Staying Connected. We're looking at this section called the Upper Room Discourse. That's because the conversation that Jesus has with his followers begins in the upper room where they shared the Passover meal, and it continues as he walked outside of that area and then even towards the Garden of Gethsemane where he prays the high priestly prayer that's recorded in John chapter 17. In your Bibles, this is almost entirely in red because it's Jesus talking to us. And the context behind Jesus talking is the fact that he's going to go to the cross and then he's going to be raised from the dead and then go to the Father. He physically is no longer going to be with his followers, but he wants them to understand their relationship with God is going to become even more intimate and more dynamic because Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit, who's not only going to be with his followers, but actually be in them. And that's the passage that we're going to unpack this morning from John chapter 14. Last week, we saw that Jesus gave us this really supernatural promise. He said his followers, everyone who believed in him, would do his works, and not only would we do his works, but we'd do even greater works. I mean, Jesus is saying that miracles will happen, supernatural things will happen, not just the obvious miraculous events that are recorded in the Gospels, but just the miracle of having your sins forgiven, and the miracle of being free, and the miracle of experiencing hope, and the miracle of having reconciled relationships, the miracle of being able to trust God when life seems like it's falling apart. Just the miracle of Jesus' life in us that Jesus is going to compare in John chapter 15 to a branch abiding in the vine. And what Jesus says is these works, these greater works, his life is real in us because we're going to experience the same kind of life that he experienced with the Father. Jesus said that the life that he lived, the works that he did because the Father was abiding in him. And then Jesus says, and the works that you do, you will do because I'm going to be abiding in you. So the Father in Jesus and Jesus in us. And I used this illustration of a puppet. Now, we all know that this is just some material that's been sewn together to look like a cute little animal. But in the hands of a parent or a Sunday school worker or a puppeteer to a child, the puppet takes on life. And to the child, there's this sense that this is actually a living being with life resources in itself. Now, we know that's only true because the puppeteer is making it come alive. And the same is true about us. We have life because God is making us come alive. And this is what the Bible says, and this is so important. Jesus says it here in John chapter 14, and it's repeated over and over again in the various letters and epistles of the Apostle Paul. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God, who said, "Let there be light," has shown his light as seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So the light of God, the glory of God, is displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. The very next verse says, we have this treasure. What treasure? God, who said, "Let there be light." God, who demonstrates his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, says, we have this treasure in jars of clay, in earthen vessels, in human bodies. And then he goes on to explain, so that the surpassing greatness of the power might be clearly seen as not coming from ourselves, but coming from God. See, this is the great truth. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, being a Christian, isn't about just embracing a certain dogma or theology. It isn't about following a certain creed. It isn't about believing and following certain laws. It's about having God in us. God making us alive, God living his life through us. And Jesus said, just as the Father was abiding in him, Jesus is abiding in us. And Jesus says, that is the Christian life, and that's how his works are reproduced in us and through us. And the key to maintaining that relationship, Jesus says, is through prayer. That's why he says, whatever you ask of the Father, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now Jesus is going to tell us, in the passage we're going to look at today, the flip side of that supernatural life that's maintained by prayer, because Jesus is living in us, just as the Father's living in Jesus, the way in which Jesus lives in us. And the way in which Jesus lives in us is through the person of the Holy Spirit that he has sent to be in us. This is what it says in John chapter 14, in the very words of Jesus. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he's the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them, and I will show myself to them. Jesus told us he's going to the Father, and we know that that actually took place. Jesus was crucified 3 days later. He was resurrected from the dead. The book of Acts tells us in Acts chapter 1 that for 40 days he appeared to his followers, demonstrating that he was alive through many convincing proofs, and then he was ascended before their very sight up into the heavens to the right hand of the throne of God. And now Jesus has fulfilled what he promised. He has sent forth his Holy Spirit. And what he says is that he's not going to leave us as orphans. We're not going to be like, where are you, God? You were with us and now you're no longer with us. In fact, he says, I'm going to continue to be with you. I'm actually going to be in you, because I'm going to send the Parakletos, translated as the advocate, the helper, the counselor. Parakletos is a term generically that just means one who's called alongside to help. In the context in which Jesus spoke this, the term advocate is probably the best term, because it was like a legal defense attorney. The person who actually defended you against the accusations that were coming at you. That's the way it's used in John, and in John's letter, 1 John chapter 2, speaking about Jesus. He says, my little children, we have an advocate from the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is our advocate. And Jesus says, I'm going to send another advocate. And Jesus actually uses, when he in this promise, of a very specific term for another. There's two Greek words translated in English as another. One of them is heteros, which means another of a different kind. Different category, different classification. And then there's a Greek word, allos, which means another of the exact same kind. And that's the word that Jesus uses here. He said, I'm going to send another of the exact same kind. Another what? Another parakletos. Another of the exact same kind as who? As me. My spirit is actually going to come to be with you and in you so that you will be able to have a relationship with God that is even more intimate and real and personal than if I physically was walking among you. That's what Jesus is telling us here. And so it is by means of the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who's with us and in us, that we actually do the works of Jesus and do greater works. And so I have three observations that I want to make about this passage. I was sharing this with my wife, Donna, and she said, man, you're going old school in this sermon outline. Because I got 3 points, and they're all alliterated. So here is an old school take on a liberating truth about how the Holy Spirit changes our lives and produces the works of Jesus in us. Here's the first observation. Conversion by the Spirit. Conversion. The idea of conversion is to be in a place where you were distant from God and you were converted, brought into a real relationship with God. A place where you were disconnected from God to a place of actually being connected from God. A place where you were dead in sin to actually be born again by the Spirit. You're spiritually converted. See, to have the Christian life, there has to be a beginning. And the beginning is when we take that step of faith and invite Jesus Christ to come into our lives. And Jesus describes that as the Holy Spirit causing us to be born again. It's when the Holy Spirit actually comes into our life, because Jesus actually said that in John chapter 14. He's not only going to be with us, he's going to be in us. And he has alluded to this fact earlier in John's gospel. It's recorded in John chapter 3, where Jesus says, you have to be born again to even enter into the kingdom of heaven. In John 3, starting at verse 3, it says, Jesus replied, he was having a conversation with one of the religious leaders, a guy named Nicodemus, who was confused about what Jesus was teaching because he tried to filter it through his religious paradigm, which is, what do I need to do? What are the works? What are the laws? What are the rituals I need to keep in order to have this relationship with God? And maybe that's the paradigm you've been working from. What do you need to do? What laws do you need to keep? What rituals do you need to practice in order to have a relationship with God? And Jesus just blows that up. He says, it's not about that. It's about having the Holy Spirit actually giving you new life. So Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Well, how can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus says the Holy Spirit comes to give us spiritual life. He makes us alive on the inside. I would imagine, it's amazing how Jesus compares this birth process to physical birth. I would imagine in an audience like this that there's many of us here who've been born again. We've experienced that new life that has come to us because we trusted in Jesus and the Holy Spirit came into our life. I bet there's some of us here who were in the first trimester. I mean, we're curious, we're interested, we're seeking, we're asking questions, but we're not yet born. And maybe there's some of us right here this morning in this worship service, we're ready to come out of the womb and be born again spiritually. See, Jesus says, just like there's a physical birth and then everything else follows that birth, there has to be a spiritual birth. And that spiritual birth is activated by the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives and gives us new spiritual life the very moment we cross the line and we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. so that just as the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, I'll be in you and you will be in us. It's that spiritual union that is available to us. In fact, Jesus prays that in John chapter 17. At the very end of this section, Jesus says, all of them, every one of my followers may be one, Father. That's what I am asking, that just as you are in me, I am in you, they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Wow. Jesus is not just teaching us another religious paradigm. He's revealing something that's absolutely distinct and unique. New spiritual life through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. New spiritual reality through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. New relationship with God through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And this isn't something that's just kind of a gospel truth and then the rest of the Bible teaches us something else. No, it's actually what all of biblical Christianity is based upon. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that you have from God? He says up to the Romans, he says, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. And if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your body. How? Through his Spirit who lives in you. But that doesn't just happen naturally. Because Jesus said in John 3, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You got to be born again spiritually. So for some of us here this morning to experience the life that Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 14, we need to be born again. We need to be converted by the Spirit. See, Jesus is trying to take something that is very deep and mystical and make it understandable. If you've ever talked to your children about God and truths from the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Because children ask just some of the most important, profound questions, but they're just simple questions to them. I remember when my daughter Ashton, she was maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I just prayed for her. We'd read a little Bible story. We were going to bed. And she said, Daddy? And I said, yes. She goes, how can Jesus be in heaven and be at my heart at the same time? Now, that was just to her, it's like a simple question. That's a deep theological question. How can Jesus be in heaven and be in our hearts at the same time? I mean, we're talking about the omnipresence of God and the divine nature of the Trinity. And I just said kind of what Jesus said. I said, well, Jesus is in heaven, but Jesus sends his Spirit to be in our hearts. And his Spirit lives in us all the time, and he never leaves us. Thank you, Daddy. You know, Jesus said we got to be like children. If you want to be converted, you have to be like a child and just accept what he says. And what Jesus says is, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to send the helper, the advocate, the parakletos, the Spirit of truth. He's going to be with you and he will be in you. We need to be converted by the Spirit. Here's a second observation from this passage. Not only is there conversion by the Spirit, there's consecration to the Spirit. Consecration to the Spirit. Now, the word consecrate means to dedicate or to commit or to surrender or to set apart. And what we are to experience as followers of Jesus Christ is a consecration of our lives to the Spirit and to the Spirit's leading and to the Spirit's empowering of our Christian life. Because Jesus is not speaking about disconnected concepts in this passage. You might think so when you look at them, but they actually flow together and they're integrated. So Jesus has said, the works that I do will you do also, and greater works than these do will you do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask of the Father will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask me anything in my name and I'll do it. The very next verse, if you keep my commandments, you love me. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another parakletos, another helper, another advocate. That is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. But the Spirit is going to be with you, and he's going to be in you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he who keeps my commandments, the Father will love him, and I will love him, and I will make myself known to him. See, all of those concepts are woven together. And so what Jesus is trying to tell us is this authentic life where the Father's abiding in Jesus, Jesus is abiding in us, this life where Jesus sends the Spirit who is with us and actually in us, this life where we love Jesus is demonstrated by keeping his commandments, and we love Jesus and we keep his commandments, and he shows more of himself to us, but we love Jesus and we keep his commandments because the Holy Spirit is living in us and we are living in step with the Spirit. That doesn't just happen. I know some of you may think this about Pastor Greg or Pastor Kenny or myself. You may think we just wake up in the morning and go, I want to keep the commandments of Jesus because I love him so much. It didn't happen like that. I don't face a relational conflict where I feel like I'm being disrespected and I feel this sense of entitlement, and my natural feeling is, I want to keep the commandments of Jesus. I don't. I want to slap people upside the head sometimes. In love, but you know. I don't face temptation and spiritual opposition with just these overwhelming emotional feelings of ooey-gooey love, and I just want to keep the commandments of Jesus now and tomorrow and the next day and all the time because that's just the way I feel. No, I've got to make a decision. I got to decide that I'm going to obey even when I don't feel like it. I've got to faith it until I feel it. That's a commitment. That's an act of surrender. That's an act of sacrifice. That's an act of dedication. That's an act of consecration. And it's the same for you as it is for me, as it is for every follower of Jesus Christ. We've got to consecrate ourselves to a life of obedience. Consecrate ourselves to a life of loving Jesus by keeping his commandments in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Love Jesus by keeping his commandments in the power of the Holy Spirit. Love Jesus by keeping his commandments in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got to dedicate myself to that. I've got to set myself apart for that. Because Jesus said that love for him is seen preeminently in keeping his commandments. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So this life where the love of Christ is controlling me, my love for Christ is controlling me, and Christ's love for me is controlling me, is seen in me living a life totally living for Jesus and not just living it for me. If you think about it, because, you know, the best commentary in the Bible is the Bible. You put scriptures together, and then now it makes sense. You go back and you think, what did Jesus teach about the essential nature of discipleship? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, obedience is the acid test of our love for Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, in talking here in this passage, where he's talking about his life being reproduced through us, because just as the Father was abiding in him, he's abiding in us, and we can ask for him to do whatever it is that we wish, and he will do it, so that these works that he did we'll do also, and greater works will we do. That's a life where we keep his commandments. We do it because we love him. We love him because the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, because we haven't been left as orphans. We actually have an advocate, the helper, who's with us and who's actually in us. But that is activated not just because we want it to be true. It's activated because we commit ourselves to it, you see. We consecrate ourselves. That's why over in Romans chapter 12, think about what the Apostle Paul, he's given us 11 chapters about this great gospel of salvation and what it means to be fully identified with Christ and have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and know the love of God and the sovereign plan of God has for our lives. And now he gets to the section where he's going to talk about how does this make a difference in our life and how do we actually do something about it. And what does he say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We have to present ourselves, dedicate ourselves, surrender ourselves fully to Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is saying here in John chapter 14, this supernatural life that's available and possible for you because I've gone to the Father. And I've sent the helper, the advocate, the parakletos, who's not only with you, but in you. You got to surrender your whole self to it. You have to dedicate your life to being obedient and walking in the Spirit and loving Jesus. You have to consecrate your life to this type of experience so that we keep his commandments out of his love in our lives and out of the Spirit prompting us and leading us and guiding us in our lives. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 8, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. It's a life of consecration, dedication to Jesus, to obeying Jesus, to loving Jesus by means of the Spirit who lives within us. Think about the marriage vows. Many of us here are married. Some are aspiring to be married. When we have a ceremony, the husband and the wife, they give vows. Sometimes it's a traditional ceremony and there are their traditional vows, and sometimes they write the vows themselves. But in the wedding vows, there's a promise of commitment. There's a promise of fidelity. There's a promise of surrender. There is a promise of sacrifice. And it's a commitment before God, before each other, before all the witnesses. Do you know it's the same in the Christian life? It's the same in the Christian life. There has to be conversion by the Spirit. We would take that initial step, and the Spirit comes in our life, and we're born again. But there also needs to be that consecration where we make a vow to Jesus. You are number one in my life. And I surrender my whole life to you. And I'm going to obey your commandments in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, take my life and use it for God's glory. It's a decisive act of consecration. So there's conversion by the Spirit. There's consecration to the Spirit. Here's the third observation: continuation with the Spirit. Continuation with the Spirit. Because just like we talk about all the time here, you know, you got to cross the line and that's the first step, but guess what? There's a whole bunch of other steps after that. You cross the line and you're converted by the Spirit, and then you fully surrender your life, you consecrate your life to be fully dedicated to Jesus Christ, and guess what? The next day shows up, and the next day, and the next day. The next challenge, and the next temptation, and the next spiritual opposition, and you got to just keep on keeping on. Continuing in the Spirit. See, we have the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the parakletos, the advocate, the helper. He's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. We have the Spirit. And we are to continue with Jesus by means of the Spirit. Have you ever, gosh, maybe this takes you back to being a kid. Maybe you're a big kid. But have you ever like jumped off a rock into a swimming hole or into a river? Don't, you have, just take a jump or take a dive into a river. It's kind of, first of all, it's refreshing. Right away, you hit the water. God. And then you come up to the top and you just naturally, you start doing the old, the treading water just to kind of stay in place. And if the current of the river has any kind of, force to it, it'll start to take you downstream. Now, you could try to swim against that. You could just float, or you could go with the flow. There is a flow of the Holy Spirit. In fact, water is one of the terms that's used most to represent the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about even John chapter 7, that if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit whom he had not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There's a flow of the Spirit, and if we are to follow Jesus and do the works of Jesus and do the greater works of Jesus, we need to go with the flow. We need to continue to live by means of the Spirit. We need to put feet on that act of consecration, that act of dedication, so that every day we are taking steps towards the Spirit's life that He has for us. That is, by the way, what Galatians 5 says about this life in the Spirit. This is what Galatians 5 says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not able to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions, desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. God wants every believer to keep in step with the Spirit. He wants every person to be converted and born again by the Spirit and to consecrate their lives to following the Spirit and to continue to live by means of the Spirit. And Jesus, in this passage, interweaving these ideas together, tells us kind of what that looks like. In John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus says, "He has my commandments and keeps them. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And I will disclose myself to him." Jesus says, "He who has my commandments," and in the words, the original words that he said this, he's describing a person, and he describes it in what's known as the present nominative participle. That's significant because it's the describing or the naming description way in grammar. So this is a person who believes in him. The one who believes in me. The one who loves me. The one who keeps my commandments. He's talking about the same person. The believing one, the loving one, the commandment-keeping one. That one, to that one, he says, the Father will love him, and I will love him also. And he says, I will show myself to him. I will show myself to him. The word that Jesus uses, it's not used very often in the New Testament. It's the Greek word emphanizo. It means to personally disclose oneself, to personally reveal something, to personally make himself known. This is what Jesus is promising to the believing one, to the one who loves him, to the one who keeps his commandment. He says, you can have the assurance that the Father loves you and that I love you. And this is a promise. I'm going to personally make myself known to you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that should grip you. Because there's things about Jesus we do not yet know. There's marvelous things about Jesus that we haven't fully comprehended. There's beautiful things about Jesus that we haven't yet received. There's life-changing things about Jesus that are beyond our present awareness. That's why Paul said over in Philippians chapter 3, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What Jesus is telling us here is, let me tell you how you can get to know me better. Let me tell you how you can know some things about me you don't yet know. Let me tell you you're not just going to know them, I'm going to personally reveal them to you. I'm going to show up in your life and show you some things about me that you don't yet know. How? Well, this is it. To the one who believes in me, to the one who loves me, to the one who keeps my commandments. The Father's going to love him, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to show myself to him. That's continuing with Jesus. And it's possible because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's not just with us. He's actually in us, energizing us, empowering us, and enabling us to love Jesus and to keep Jesus' commandments. So what I love about this promise, this truth here in John 14, 21, is it's like a cycles of spiritual growth, if you think about it that way. There's loving Jesus, and they overlap. There's keeping Jesus' commandments, and they overlap. And there's getting to know more stuff about Jesus, and they overlap. And the reason they overlap and the reason they're like cycles is, and get this, you can jump on at any one of these that triggers your inner spiritual motivation. Based upon whatever spiritual gift you have, whatever journey you're on right now, whatever your personality is, whatever triggers you. If you're a person who you love learning more about Jesus. Well, you jump on there. What do I know about Jesus? Man, I know Jesus is I just read this today in Mark chapter 5. He's the miracle worker. He's the bondage breaker. That is so awesome. Man, that just causes me to love Jesus more. Well, guess what? When you love Jesus more, what do you do according to John 14, 21? You keep his commandments. And when you love Jesus and you keep his commandments, guess what Jesus does? He discloses even more stuff to you. And when you learn more stuff about him, you love him even more. When you love him even more, you keep more of his commandments. You keep more of his commandments, he discloses more stuff to you. Well, let's just say that you're more of the, I love Jesus. I just love what Jesus has done for me. I just love what Jesus does for the church. I just love who Jesus is. Well, Jesus says, if you love me, guess what you'll do? You'll keep my commandments. So that love prompts you to keep his commandments. And then what does Jesus say? If you, a person who loves me and you keep my commandments, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reveal myself to you. And so Jesus discloses more of himself to you. And because he discloses more of himself to you, you just love him even more. Because you love him anymore, you keep more of his commandments. Well, let's say you're a person who I'm driven by obedience. I want to keep the commandments of Jesus. Awesome. Take the commandments you already know and keep them. And you know what Jesus says he'll do? He'll disclose himself to you. He'll personally make himself known to you. And as you get to know Jesus more, you love him more, and you keep even more of his commandments. All of this is energized and empowered and possible because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So we continue with Jesus. We continue with this life of love. We continue with this empowerment produced by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is teaching here. He's tying these concepts together of the Father abiding in me, me abiding in you, you doing my works because you asked the Father for greater works and I produce them so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In fact, you can ask me for anything and I'll do it. And the reason that that is possible is because I've sent the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And because the Holy Spirit lives in you, he empowers you to love me and to keep my commandments. And because you love me and you keep my commandments, I'm going to reveal even more of myself to you. This is the Christian life that Jesus is unpacking for us. Well, does it work? Well, look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. For 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples, appeared and proved that he was resurrected from the dead. That's what it says in Acts 1, 1 to 3. Then Jesus ascended to the Father at the right hand. Those first disciples, they went to the upper room where Jesus started this discourse around the Passover meal, and they prayed. They prayed for 10 days. So for 40 days, Jesus was preaching and proving that he'd been raised from the dead. For 10 days, they prayed, which, by the way, that's where we get 10 days of prayer and fasting. That's what we did when we started Crossline Church. 10 days before we actually had our first worship service, we had 10 days of focused prayer and fasting, and then on the 10th day, we had our worship service. Right now, we're spending 10 days in prayer and fasting and asking Jesus to do what only Jesus can do. And on the 10th day, it'll be our 15-year anniversary. Because for the disciples, what took place on the 10th day? It was 50 days now because they had 40 days plus 10, 50 days since Passover. 50 is where the Feast of Pentecost comes from because Pentecost is 50 days in Greek. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the miraculous works of God in the languages of the people who were gathered together. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up and shared the gospel. And on the day of Pentecost, in one day, more people received Christ than in the entire 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. The greater works of Jesus were done in one day through the church. Do you think Jesus could do his greater works through us today if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit? If we were all abiding in Jesus as Jesus was abiding in the Father? If we were all asking Jesus to do what only Jesus could do? You see, Jesus wants to give us a supernatural life. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's not religion. It's just like the Father was in Jesus, Jesus is in us. And the way Jesus is in us is he sent the Holy Spirit, who's not only with us, he's actually in us. But that doesn't just happen naturally in terms of living that out in personal experience. We've got to dedicate ourselves. We've got to consecrate ourselves. Can I have everybody here just stand up right where you are? Because I want to close this service with an invitation. It's an invitation to every person here, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, to fully surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in you and through you. You see, some of us here, we need to be born again. We need to be converted. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just ask him. Ask Jesus to come into your life and ask the Holy Spirit to cause you to be born again, to become a new person. Some of us here, we're born again. We're children of God, but we haven't been living like it. We need to come back. We need to come home. We need to dedicate ourselves to a life of loving and obeying Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are walking with Jesus, loving Jesus, living in the Spirit, and we want to re-up and say, I'm going to keep on living that way. I'm going to go public and want everybody to know that's who I am and that's the way I'm living because I love Jesus and I'm following him. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to have full control of every part of my life. Wherever you are in the spiritual journey, God wants you to take a next step, and he wants you to be bold about it. So I'm going to give you an invitation. And the invitation is this. If you want to say today and for the rest of my life, I am dedicating myself to living in the power of the Holy Spirit, loving Jesus and keeping his commandments, then I want to invite you to come forward in just a minute after I pray and just stand here at this altar right up front and just say, I'm fully dedicating my life to Christ, to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, to love Jesus and to keep his commandments. Father, I pray for our entire church that this would mark just a forever change in the direction of who we are collectively as a body. May we as a whole body be filled with the Holy Spirit to love Jesus and to keep his commandments and to expect to get to know Jesus better and better and better and better. Lord Jesus, you are the head of the church. May you speak to every person here, and may every person say yes to the work of the Holy Spirit, moving them to fully dedicate their lives to you. And I pray and I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.